This is Slashdot Review for Monday, November 22, 2004. My name's Andy McCaskey, and this is a 10-minute summary of highlights from recent contributions to Slashdot. Today's music is from a highly successful Billboard-rated artist licensed by MTV and VH1 who's played at South by Southwest in 2003 and who has a Creative Commons track on GarageBand.com. Let's take a look at the news headlines. It's not news, and it's not particularly new, but it's getting noticed. Jordan writes that Yahoo News is reporting that several printer manufacturers are now, and have been for some time, embedding nearly invisible serial numbers in every document you print with their color printers. This allows law enforcement to track any such document back to the printer which printed it. The technology, ostensibly created to crack down money counterfeiters, was created by Xerox about 20 years ago. A Xerox researcher says that the number embedding chip lies way in the depths of the machine right near the laser, and that standard levels of mischief won't get you around it. Whether you pronounce it MySQL or MeSQL, it certainly has a place at the top of the pyramid. Craig Maloney writes that he's skeptical whenever a publisher uses the words definitive or complete or especially ultimate in the title of a computer book. Sadly, the typical book so labeled is a jumble of incomplete ideas crammed together with very little depth, and even worse, some books do little more than reprint the various command line switches for the application. Michael Koffler's definitive guide to MySQL is just the opposite. There's lots of ideas crammed inside the book, but they're carefully explained and expanded. The book weighs in at a hefty 802 pages with very little fluff. Complete review on Slashdot. 786 comments, and I hope most of them are purely disgusting. There's a new video game that recreates the Kennedy assassination. Theo DP writes that Lee Harvey Oswald wannabes will be able to simulate the assassination of President Kennedy when Traffic Games releases the 999 JFK Reloaded on Monday to coincide with the 41st anniversary of Kennedy's murder in Dallas. It's despicable, says a spokesman for Massachusetts Senator Edward Kennedy, the late president's brother. Well, you got that right. Opportunities for you to comment directly on Slashdot, games.slashdot.org. There's some speculation that open-source Solaris might be a Linux killer. Scott Blaney writes that, quote, this guy contends that now that Sun's releasing Solaris 10 under an open-source license, Linux will begin to wane in popularity. To quote, Linux will probably not grow much beyond its current market share of about 10%, leaving Red Hat and especially Novell with a big problem. There are some potential security flaws in the Linux SMB file system. An anonymous reader points out a security focus alert. The alert starts out, the Linux kernel is reported susceptible to multiple remote vulnerabilities in the SMB file system network file system. These vulnerabilities may lead to the execution of attacker-supplied machine code, information disclosure of kernel memory or kernel crashes, and denying service to legitimate users. Versions of the kernel in both 2.4 and 2.6 series are reported susceptible to various issues. Zonk has posted a review of Half-Life 2 on Slashdot. He says the original Half-Life is regarded widely as a defining moment in the first-person shooter genre. The game's use of story and in-game scripted elements changed the expectations of game players and spawned a bevy of imitators. The sequel, Half-Life 2, has been in the works for almost 6 years and is one of the most hyped and anticipated games of 2004. It was launched last week after delays, a code theft, and lawsuits frustrated anxious fans waiting for a chance to play. Post-launch, the game has received wide praise, and thanks to the unique distribution and authentication system called Steam, many complaints are gone as well. You can read on for his impressions of Valve's Half-Life 2. Some interesting photographs. The Soviet space battle station images have been published. An anonymous reader writes in that images of the Soviet Union's laser space battle station SCIF and its prototype Polyus have been published on the web. Polyus SCIF was the Soviet response to the American Star Wars program of the 1980s. The Polyus was launched in May 1987, but a faulty sensor caused it to deorbit into the South Pacific. More information can be found at Encyclopedia Astronautica, with links on Slashdot. Google's muscling into Microsoft's turf. Gollum 123 copies and pastes that AP has a story on how as Google rapidly rolls out new products, The company, best known for its wildly popular search engine, is muscling into the software giant's turf, including its stronghold, the computer desktop. If you'd like to comment on a Slashdot item or suggest a Creative Commons artist or band to feature for listeners, all you need to do is make a phone call to 732-357-3682 or a network-based SIP phone call to 747-667-3306. Or you could take the old-fashioned route, leave a written comment at slashdotreview.com. Headline from the world of science, some futuristic smart yarns are about to be made from carbon nanotubes. Neutron P writes in that scientists at the UTD Nanotech Institute achieved a major technological breakthrough by spinning multi-walled carbon nanotube yarns that are strong, tough, and extremely flexible, and are both electrically and thermally conducting. Amongst other things, the futuristic yarns could result in smart clothing that stores electricity, provides ballistic protection, and adjusts temperature and porosity to provide greater comfort. The breakthrough, which is made possible in effect downsizing ancient technology used for wool and cotton spinning to the nanoscale, resulted from an unusual collaboration involving nanotechnologists and experts in wool spinning. Just in time for Christmas, the digital music player overview continues. An anonymous reader writes that MP3 Newswire just posted article number 5 on its iPod Killer series for the holidays. Most interesting are a Bluetooth unit from Iowa, Sony's Vio U, and an AUG Photo FM broadcast record flash unit from SAFA. Slashdot also has links to reports 1, 2, 3, and 4. And some shout-outs to some friends down under. Adventures of an Aussie in New Zealand. A long-range shout-out and good day to Mr. Peabody, who also gives me new hope that Doppler can, in fact, receive this podcast. We had a few problems the first week or two with Doppler. And to Greg Walker at gregwalker.org, who has a podcaster's dream box and the professional Maranta solid-state portable recorder that he has pictured on his site. Even though I'm really pleased with the Yep YPT-5 that I use for backup here at Slashdot Review, that Maranta looks awfully tempting. Once again, a shout-out to both of you and an opportunity to return the favor. HP is putting some muscle behind commodity computing. Handpaper writes that the BBC has a story about HP's SE 3D Labs pilot scheme to provide raw rendering power for smaller studios and amateurs. There's a sample movie that's available. It looks like the long-fabled grid computing may arrive soon on a massive scale. The Open Source Biology Initiative. Nictos Remedios writes that the Biological Innovation for Open Society, or BIOS, initiative aims to make biological technology more readily available to biologists everywhere. The latest genetics and biology tools should be freely available to researchers over the internet, but instead, access is typically restricted by commercial patents and prohibitive licensing fees. BIOS and its associated BioForge aims to overcome these restrictions to innovation by encouraging companies and public sector research organizations to contribute the research tools and technologies to the BioForge repository. In return, users of the technology are bound by an open-source license to share all improvements with the original inventors and other license holders. Albrezzi writes in with a short item and reports that eWeek is making mention that GPL version 3 is coming soon, which will revise the GPL for the first time in quite a while. There's a LAMP grid application server, so there's no more J2EE. An anonymous reader writes that check out this blog entry and loosely coupled about ActiveGrid's new open source grid application server based on LAMP, Linux, Apache, MySQL, PHP, Python, or Perl. Not to start another PHP versus Java flame war, but it looks like LAMP is starting to grow up and that's much better suited for the next generation of applications than Java 2 EE. And finally, if you're handy with your hands, maybe you could take on a new project for Christmas. How about a homemade portable PlayStation 2? AstroKid writes in and provides a link to a guy who's created a portable PlayStation 2 complete with screen just in time for Christmas. Definitely recommended for the post-model rocket hobbyist.
No!
That guy got slashed out it so bad it was posted at 9:09. And right now at 9:50 the notice says, "Your account has been suspended. We have sent you an email explaining why." Thanks for listening to Slashdot Review for Monday, November 22nd, 2004. My name's Andy McCaskey, and I have no affiliation with Slashdot other than as a regular reader, and offer this material and other items of interest under the Creative Commons Attribution Share-Alike license, as detailed in Slashdot Review. Slashdot Review audio is published Monday through Friday, and occasionally on Sunday. Today's featured album tracks from the GarageBand.com R&B artist-songwriter Natalie Brown, one of the top artists who's chosen to place some of her commercial work under Creative Commons. She splits her time between Toronto and Gaithersburg, Maryland. You can find links to her commercial site and this Creative Commons licensed track for download at GarageBand.com by following links on Slashdot Review.
Possess her, and it would not let her go. Searching deep.